You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerdbliss is intended for a mature audience.
Dateline 2000. A group known as Southeast Convention Fandom Incorporated rallied to get Worldcon to come to Charlotte, North Carolina. Think of Worldcon as the Geek Olympics. Though the bid for Worldcon would fail, this brought together many of the individuals responsible for some of North Carolina's most successful smaller conventions, such as StellarCon and MACE. Many of these individuals would form what would be the first convention committee, or ConCom, for Con Carolinas. Con Carolinas made its debut in 2002 as a two-day event that focused mainly on local riders, with promises of what would come the following year, the addition of gaming. In 2003, Con Carolinas became a three-day event with not only the promised addition of gaming, but this was also the first year of Con Carolinas' now famous Rocky Horror Picture Show performance. Con Carolinas was never a large convention by comparison to some of the other more well-known conventions, but it definitely has its charm and its own unique brand of fun. Now, 20 years after its inception, Con Carolinas is still going strong, despite the pandemic of 2020. Now that COVID-19 vaccines were readily available, it was time to bring all the familiar faces together again. Join us in our coverage of Con Carolinas 2021 on this episode of Nerdbliss.
Strike wing, standing by the launch.
Connect interlocks. Dials are connected.
Fight and power! The actor attacks in power.
All stations.
Ready.
Nerdbliss.
It's now online.
I'm gonna kill him right back.
This is the way.
This is what we're doing.
And we are in Charlotte, North Carolina for Con Carolina's, was it 30th anniversary? 20th. Okay, I didn't mean to age them by 10 years. Sorry, guys. So this is our first con post lockdown, and it's good to be back. Quite honestly, something that we don't talk about a lot on the show is the preparation to go to con, because I was pretty wrecked by the time I got here. I stress a lot, and because I want to, you know, hit the road, and I've got stuff to do before I leave, and we had, you know, unforeseen delays, but I'm glad to be here. It's good to be back at Con. We just saw a Mikey Mason concert that was amazing. And
yeah, it was Mikey's first concert back. Like, he's played it in his hometown, like at open mic type stuff and little local shows, but his first real came to see him at a con.
Honest to God, yeah. Concert. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very moving.
Yes. Now, you know, emotions were somewhat hidden because we were masked. But yeah, opposite of cool will always get me.
Yeah.
And the one that he does about being kind, that's one that I heard on Patreon, and I'm having trouble just talking about it right now. Yeah, if you're not a supporter of Mikey Mason, or if you've never heard of him, God, do you even know us? I mean, Jesus. Yeah, we're going to fix that as best we can. Anyway, just wanted to get some thoughts down early on. Some lay of the land type of things. I want to say, now, Tina, you opine on this as well, certainly, but I feel like that the Friday night crowd is normal for this con, more or less.
Yeah, more or less. Friday night is usually pretty chill at this convention. Right. Saturday night is like the...
all the way live.
Yeah. And you have the people that really don't come for the daytime stuff that come Saturday night for... they do karaoke, they do Rocky Horror. It's that kind of con.
Right, yes. Saturdays are always awesome because the people that can only come one day come on Saturday. So all the big stuff is on Saturday. For those of you who are not familiar with this con life, which I can't imagine who isn't.
Well, and it's a full day. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, we really didn't get here until like 7. So it was definitely not a full day for us. Which partly, like, I just talking the post-pandemic life where because we didn't go out for so long, even after I was fully vaccinated and was just like planning to go out for a couple hours, mm-hmm. I lost that skill set of like, what do I need to put on my body? What do I need to have in my bag? Like, and doing that for a con weekend, which is in a lot of ways different to me than like just going on like a regular overnight trip or whatever.
Right.
Because usually we sort of plan not to leave the hotel too much. You're bringing your drinks and snacks. You're making sure if you have a cosplay, you have that all together. Mm-hmm. We brought a whole hedgehog with us.
Yeah, we couldn't find a hog sitter. Honestly, we didn't try.
Georgia is a no-go because pet hedgehogs are not allowed, but North Carolina does not have that problem. So
I'm glad you researched that because I didn't even think of it. We're gonna just bring an animal over state lines, and you know, because there's like zombie apocalypse shit that we have to consider if you're gonna like bring mm-hmm. stuff over state lines and mess with ecosystems. And
well, the main two that I know of are Georgia and California.
Yeah,
that they're not legal.
Yeah, Georgia, California, get your shit together.
I mean, California, I get because they have legit deserts. Mm-hmm. So, but their deserts get so hot that the African pygmy hedgehogs would probably not do well. But anyway, what I was meaning to say is, like, I had a whole layer of supplies.
Right.
And, you know, traditionally, we have gotten up con morning and packed because I tend to overpack if I start early. Like, much like my buying for Christmas, if I start shopping early, I just keep shopping. So I need to like limit the amount of time so I don't overbuy.
Yeah, similar with me. Now I make a conscious effort of, you know, I only need so many clothes. I only need so many toiletries. If I'm bringing a computer, okay, we don't necessarily have to bring a computer. We didn't this time. Are you bringing alcohol? Which I chose not to bring any this year. I would like to, you know, drink because that's what I do at a con. Those of you who follow me on Facebook, you saw what I posted with the Pony Cup. I actually said, yeah, I'd be doing something like that. And I didn't bring the liquor. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I may find some.
Traditionally, this con always has room parties, so you can, like, liquor can be had, and like there's a hotel bar which is not economical, but
certainly
they'll get you drunk.
Oh yeah, and they'll certainly sell me the alcohol. That's for damn sure. Jonathan Wheatley, because I know you're listening. Get your ass to this con. Mosers, I think you'd like it. I mean, I don't want to cut into your Disney budget, but I'm saying, you know, we need to get this con turned, is what I'm saying.
Oh, it would be super fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like put in to throw a room party with the Fall Horsemen. That would be some
Adam.
That would be
Adam
Weston. Shit.
Adam Weston, where are you?
Like, we, wow, that this this con would not know what hit it.
Right. I haven't seen too much dumbassery yet. I'm expecting to see some dumbassery tomorrow. As far as, I don't know, the usual stuff. I mean, anytime you get a group of people in one place packed together, people are not going to watch where they're going. People are going to stand in the middle of the hallway and you can't get by. I did notice at least three occasions tonight where people were just standing in the hallway having a conversation, and there's like this clogged artery of people trying to get by them, and they're completely oblivious.
That is, as much as, you know, this hotel is great for a lot of things, mm-hmm. but it has really tiny, awkward hallways that they also then have fan tables in, mm-hmm. which, like, there's no good place for that to happen.
Yeah.
Except outside, which, you know, that becomes kind of spillover the rest of the con for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, gosh, there's just so much that I want to think about. I can't wait to get to the dealer's room tomorrow, see what's there. You know what? I'm happy to be back in the goddamn hotel room.
Right. I mean, we love our little borough.
I love to travel.
But it is really, really nice once in a while to not be at home.
But yeah, Con Carolinas, again, just wanted to get a little blurb in on Friday night. We're going to take this mic here. It's our interviewer mic. We've got a digital recorder attached to the end of it. And we've done podcast in a bag before. Now we're doing podcast on a stick. essentially what we're doing now. That's what I'm calling it. Podcast on a stick.
It's basically a corn dog.
Right.
Yeah.
And since we're talking about our equipment and everything, I just want to mention some of the technicals here, because I think some of our listeners would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. When we record in multi-track, that is, each speaker has their own individual recording on the recorder, so that I can adjust levels on each individually. This thing right here just does one track. So what it records, it records. Tina and I are together, so I can't turn me up or her down. We just got to speak up. And this is highly experimental, so if it sounds awful, we'll make it better next time. We'll know as soon as I plug in headphones to this thing and listen to it. So.
If it sounds really awful, you will never hear this.
Yes, this is true. This is true. All right, so we're going to go ahead and turn off podcast on a stick for now. We have to see to our hedgehog and get some snacks and get some sleep up in this humpy bumpy.
2 few hours later.
To all you congoers out there, you know what time it is. You're still in bed. Your room is dark. Your roomies are still snoring. You're not sure how you're going to step over them to get to the bathroom. You know what time it is. It's Saturday morning at con. Time to get out, get that shower. Because you do take a shower at the con, right? And find that program book and decide what the hell you're going to do.
Course navigation locked. Engaging hyperdrive in 3, 2, 1.
Well, my friends, this is Chris here at Con Carolinas 2021 in Charlotte, North Carolina. This, again, is our first return to Con since the whole COVID lockdown. It is good to be here. I was very interested to see what our Saturday crowd would look like. Now, we have gone to this convention many, many years in the past, and I would guess that based on the crowd that I'm seeing here, it's
mostly the size of crowd you would see on a Saturday, but there's definitely less people here. Now, to remind you, there was an online portion of this convention as well. And I figure this information is useful if you have a con that you normally go to that is spinning back up for the first time since the lockdown. This may be an idea of what to expect. Now, this is a pretty small con. They get, I think in their best years, they get somewhere near 800 and 1,000 in attendance. Not sure what the numbers were most recently. And those numbers will certainly be down this year simply because it is partially online and we're still in a pandemic. So I would like to think that the numbers would be down a little bit. But I've had a chance to walk through their dealer's room, actually made a few purchases. And yeah, guys, it's con and cons are back. And so glad to be here. All right, let's see who I run into to talk to.
I like your socks.
Oh, thank you. All right, we're here with Mandy Horetsky. We are back at Con Carolinas after lockdown, and you're here for gaming, is that right?
Well, my daughter's here for gaming, so I'm here for gaming.
All right, so tabletop gaming with an actual table with actual people. How does that feel?
It feels so awesome. I mean, we have a local group, but we've been online for a year and a half, and we're waiting until my daughter's fully vaccinated before we go back in person. So this is the first time I've rolled actual dice and not done online, like Roll 20 stuff, in a year and a half, and it's awesome. Very awesome.
That's great. Anything about this year that you liked or missed?
No, I mean, wearing masks, I wish I had masks that match my costumes more. but no, they've been very respectful to all the pandemic stuff, making us feel so safe. And I'm a hugger, and I got to hug people, and they did everything right. Everything right.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you from your game. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so we're here with John Hartness with Falstaff Books. Nice to see you, John. Glad to see you back.
Hey, good to see you, Chris. It's great to be back. Thrilled to be doing conventions again. We've got a fantastic weekend here at Con Carolinas. You know, this is our home con because we're based here in Charlotte, and a ton of our authors are here. I look around Authors Alley and I'm like, yeah, I publish about two-thirds of these guys. So it's been great seeing old friends, making new friends, meeting new fans. You know, all of the things that we missed for over a year of lockdown and quarantine and sadness. And it's just great to kind of begin the process of shaking that off.
Most definitely, most definitely. So you said a lot of the authors that you publish are here. Mm-hmm. Would you say it's about the same as before, or less?
In what sense? Attendance-wise?
Attendance-wise, yes.
I think that attendance is slightly down from 2019, but 2019 was almost a record year for this con. So I feel like we are back to relatively normal levels, and now we can start growing the event again. So probably back about 2018 levels of attendance.
Okay, all right. Now tell us a little bit about Falstaff Books for those that don't know.
Sure. We're an independent publisher based in Charlotte, North Carolina. We focus on science fiction, fantasy, horror, and romance. We are a small press, which means we're not affiliated with any of the massive international conglomerates that are the big five of New York-based publishing. We publish a ton of local and regional authors, such as Jason Gilbert, Gail Z. Martin and Larry N. Martin, myself, you know, Chris Jackson. We've got Nancy Northcott. We just got a pile of Carolina-centric authors, people all the way from brand new authors with their first publication to New York Times bestsellers like A.J. Hartley and R.S. Belcher. So we publish about 50 titles every year. and that means I gave up sleep for Lent in 2015.
Understandable.
Yeah. So things are good.
All right. Well, where can folks find Falstaff Books on the web space?
You can find us at falstaffbooks.com. We have a Facebook group called The Misfit Toys. That's a great way to keep in touch with the press and learn about upcoming appearances, upcoming specials, like our convention game that we're running for the rest of the year called Misfits the Gathering, where whenever you buy a book from the Falstaff Books table at a convention or from one of our authors, you get a collectible card with an author's cover photo on it. And then when you collect five and bring them back to the Falstaff booth, you get a 10% discount off your entire purchase. So you go, the more you buy, the more you save.
You heard it here, folks. Go buy it. Go buy it and save. All right. Well, thank you, John, so much for taking time to talk to me. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Great to see you.
Laboratory. Hello everyone, Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this! For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
We're the Con Guys, as in Comic-Con, and this is the Con Guys Show, coming at you straight from the heart of Hollywood, California, with the news, celebrity interviews, and fun-loving opinions to help fuel your passions. We are your ultimate insiders, filmmakers, writers, actors, costumers, gamers, panelists, but most of all, we are fans. And whether it's sci-fi, collectibles, comic books, gaming, animation, cosplay, or fan conventions, if you love it, we cover it. Your behind-the-scenes look at all things con.
Nerdless. All right, so we're here with the Blibbering Humdingers. You guys are pretty much a staple in the Southeast.
Well, I
think so. All right, so tell us a little bit and about who you are, what you do.
About the band. We got our start doing wizard rock, which is basically pop music about the wizarding world of Harry Potter and all of that stuff in that scene. And then as that scene really started disappearing as the kids were growing up and they just weren't into it anymore, we started branching out more into generic fandom conventions and doing songs about fandom in general, all kinds of media franchises, and just, you know, what it's like being a nerd kind of stuff. Because we've always been nerds. I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons and playing in the SCA and doing LARP stuff. And, you know, we're into all of the big, you know, the Marvel and the Star Wars and all of our weird little book series and all that sort of thing. Yep.
certainly relatable. I did catch the show last night. Very, very awesome performance.
Thank you.
And now, would you say that you're geared more towards an adult audience?
Yeah, adults with juvenile attitudes, really. Immature adults.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Congoers.
The show last night was the naughtier one.
It's funny that you mentioned that when we started doing, especially the Wizard Rock, a lot of convention planners would be like, oh, Harry Potter, kids music, blah, blah, blah. And they would put us with kids tracks and have us do like an afternoon show for the kids. And we have material we can do, especially like covers from other wizard rock bands and some of our own stuff that's, you know, not naughty. It was really weird that they were doing that to us. But, you know, even the stuff that we do that's naughty, we're not filthy with it. Like, we don't do a whole lot of cursing and that sort of thing. So it's pretty much, if little kids get the jokes, it's the parents' problem. It's not ours. Our own kids, I think our own kids were about between 10 and 12 before they started getting the jokes. And they were like, oh my God, Dad, I know what that song is about now. I'm like, well, now you know your parents are horrible people.
Surprise. All right. Now, as I mentioned, I am acquainted with your bassist, Chuck Parker, the world's okayest bassist.
That's what they say.
Now, as you know, I am learning bass as well. So my main question for you, and I think I asked you this on Facebook already, what do you do with that fifth string?
I do play it. On a couple of our songs,
I do use it.
It's really nice for, like, I like to go down a little further sometimes rather than coming up. But yeah, you don't use it every time. You have to think, force yourself to do it. But yes, but I like the fifth string. It makes me special.
So should I learn the five string while I'm still new at this, or
I didn't. But again, I'm just a guitar player who learned how to play bass because there were more gigs there. But I picked it up later, and it gives me another tool in the toolbox.
All right. Well, where can we find Blibbering Humdingers out on the web space?
Blibberinghumdingers.com. And you'll need to autocorrect your phone because it will say blithering or dithering. but it's Blibbering. B-L-I-B-B-E-R-I-N-G.
All right, and we'll put that in the show notes as well, make it a little easier. All right, guys, thank you so much for talking to us.
Cool, thanks.
We're here with Dacre Stoker, and you are, if I remember correctly, the great, great grandnephew of Bram Stoker?
Just one great, great grandnephew of Bram Stoker.
Yeah. Just one great.
Although pretty great sometimes, but only in relation to Bram is there one great.
All right. We did actually speak to you very briefly in 2019. I doubt you remember us, but it's good to talk to you again. Now, as I understand, I've been checking up with you on Facebook. You actually, your connection with Bram Stoker has taken you around the world. Tell us about that.
Jeez. I have gone to Transylvania in search of Bram's the location of his fictional castle. And with the help of Hans de Roos, who deciphered Bram's notes, I've actually found it. We've now got a plaque up there. I've been to Cruden Bay, Scotland, where Bram actually wrote Dracula, spent 13 summers there, researched there with Mike Shepard, found that the interior of Castle Dracula is modeled after the interior of Slane's castle in Cruden Bay, Scotland. Of course, been to Whitby, where Bram was so inspired by his one holiday there in 1890 that he set chapters 6, 7, and 8 there. And of course, all over Ireland and parts of London, places where Bram lived and was inspired, and also where he set the novel in London. So yeah, it's taken me out in some pretty interesting places. And I do a lot of research when I go to those places to then use those for the books that I write.
How has how would you say the pandemic / lockdown has affected your research and just sales in general? How has that impacted you?
I guess, in one way, in a negative way, obviously zero traveling, very few sales. I did a lot of Zoom conferences, that I would normally be here, like in a table meeting and chatting interesting people, but I'm sitting in my office looking at a teeny little green light on my computer,
right,
talking to folks. And of course, sales have suffered. But on the other hand, it's really made me buckle down to do the research and do writing that I would not normally do if I was doing all the traveling. So, made me hunker down in Aiken, South Carolina to do my research and do the writing. So there's a trade-off. But boy, am I glad that it's beginning to clear up and we're getting up to meet the fans.
Most definitely. Now, do you have any particular books or projects that you want to tell folks about?
Well, the newest one right now that just came out this week is this one right here, which is a graphic novel. The first one in what I'm calling the Stokerverse, with Chris McCauley. We have adapted one of Bram Stoker's short stories, The Squaw, and turned it into the more politically correct name, The Virgin's Embrace. And it's a story he wrote prior to him writing Dracula, but it's just as gruesome, about a couple going to Nuremberg on their honeymoon. They meet an American, a whole lot like Quincy Morris, and this guy is very brash and does some kind of stupid things, and they end up all together in the torture chamber and they have, let's just say, an interesting encounter with a cat and the Virgin of Nuremberg. Oh, wow. And Jessica Martin was our artist. Esther Cardella did our cover art. So here it is in hardback and paperback, making its debut here at Con Carolina. So really proud of our first effort, graphic novels. It's one of many that we're going to be doing, adapting Bram's short stories. We also have a plan to, you know, put a complete Dracula together in graphic novel form as well.
All right. That sounds awesome. Now, where can folks find you out on the web space?
Well, on Facebook, obviously, you can go to Stoker Macaulay. That's for all of these projects that I'm doing with Chris. You can find me on Facebook, but also www.dakerstoker.com and also stokerverse.com. We've got a number of websites to show our products.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for your time as well.
Quick footnote on the segment that you're about to hear. You're going to hear a difference in the audio quality on this one. And the reason you're hearing a difference in audio quality is I'm interviewing Brian Holloway next to a set of very, very squeaky escalators. And I didn't realize until after the fact that the noise from the escalators was absolutely obnoxious in the recording. I did what I could to reduce the noise, but it's still there and it's unavoidable. I apologize. And also as a result of that, our voices sound a little bit muddy, but it's still a good interview and still good information. So my apologies. Please enjoy.
All right, so we're here at Con Carolinas with Brian Holloway. You've heard his voice on the show before with our Star Trek Lower Decks episode. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a great weekend, a lot of fun, a lot of things going on, a lot of time to promote other conventions appearing. Now that things are opening up, it's time to get out and have fun.
All right, yeah, definitely good to be back. So what did you get to do with Con Carolinas this year, if anything?
I wasn't part of the actual group. I mean, usually I MC different events, and I do like sometimes I do the auction. This time I got in on the game a little late because I didn't know they were having it like live. So it gave me a chance to kind of come out, hang with some friends, you know, reacquaint myself with people, see a couple panels, which I usually don't get a chance to do. So it's just a good relaxing time for me.
All right. So you were just telling me about an event that you were just involved in, a virtual event. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in its second year, there's one online called CADCON, which is done through the Klingon Assault Group. And every year about this time, they're going to be having this virtual event. And it's a chance for the Klingon fans and groups to get together and help each other out. I had a chance to do a panel on makeup and costumes, you know, tips and tricks to make it better. I had a chance to bring out like different Klingon foreheads and show the difference in quality and the difference in construction, how to apply it. Just, you know, quickly online kind of stuff. Didn't do an actual demo, but that's one of the things that I would not have minded doing, but you couldn't squeeze that into just an hour. Gave some tips and tricks about costumes and where to find things and kind of just opened it up and said, you know, bring me your questions, things that you have issues with. And then had a chance to promote the event in Atlanta coming up. So had just a real good afternoon. I'm also involved with another fan film or several fan films, but there was one that right before my panel, they came on and promoted the Romulan War. So I had a chance to attend that one and speak a little bit. So just generally just good times.
All right. Now, you and I happen to know that there's another event coming up. Convention that I have spoken about on this show many times. Treklanta is not going to be live this year, but they are doing a virtual event on August 7th. And Brian, you're involved with that. So tell us what you know about that.
Well, I'm kind of stepping up this time. Eric Watts, who is the founder and CEO and sort of the program coordinator for Treklanta, has decided that he's not as big a fan of virtual or not as big a fan of everything involved with virtual, I should say. So he's stepping down a little bit this year, which means I'm stepping up and taking the role of running the show. Now, behind the scenes, Eric has had the chance to wrangle us some guests and get some people coming in. So we're still going to be doing our celebration of fan films. in terms of having fan film organizations coming in. I believe Randy Landers is coming in. Mark Nacarado is coming in, or will be dialing in. So we're going to have a chance to talk to the different fan film groups that we've worked with in the past. I will be doing a panel on costumes and makeup for people who are interested in that. We're also going to be doing our guests are, we have David Gerald, who's the writer of Trouble with Tribbles. We have J.J. Pertzler, who played Martok and several other characters in Star Trek and Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Tracy Coco, who has been a guest with us before, and she is coming in again to kind of talk about her work on Star Trek. And Tracy, it's kind of interesting because over the last couple of months, I've noticed that she's getting a lot more FaceTime and a lot more press on social media and stuff like that. And there are several other guests we have coming in. We have Felt Nerdy coming in. He's going to be doing an online puppetry show. And I know I'm probably forgetting one or two, and it's not intentional. I do apologize. But we just have a lot going on, and Eric has taken the time to wrangle all this and put it together. And so the rest of us are just going to step up and do what we normally do. We will not be doing costume contests per se. Usually Trek Lanta is known for two things, which is the Miss Klingon Empire pageant and also the Bijo Fan Film Awards. We're not doing either of those this year, and we will return with those when we go back to being live. But Eric decided that those are events that are much better live, and with every other group out there, every other virtual con doing things virtually, he wants to bring that back to like the live event. So we're going to hold off on that, but we still have a lot of fun going on, a lot of things we're going to be discussing, and again, we're going to have panels with the fan film groups and stuff. So if you're interested in fan films, if you're interested in Star Trek in general, if you're interested in finding out more about the convention, check us out at treklanta.org, and we look forward to seeing you online on August 7th.
All right. Now, I do have to say this just in the interest of fun. Keith DeCandido, I did not forget you. but so since I remembered you, you remember me. Wink, wink. Okay.
Keith, I forgot. I knew that there was going to be somebody I forgot, and I just scanned the list like earlier today. So I knew that we had been talking about David Gerald. I knew we'd been talking about JG, and I knew we'd been talking about Tracy. And then the others were just kind of like, I know I'm going to forget somebody. And Keith, I apologize. I would never forget you. You're a great friend and a great supporter of the convention. And bring information. I was going to say, usually I say bring lots of books. Bring lots of information. And guys, we'll still have like dealer's information. We'll still have places where you can buy Keith's books. We'll have places where, groups that are selling T-shirts. I believe we're going to make available, I think we're making available opportunity through the guests for you to contact them and get autographs and such as they normally do through their publicist and groups like that. So the convention is going to be the same as it always is. The only difference is we're going to be virtual as opposed to live in your face.
All right. Well, anything else you got going on that you want to tell people about or tell us about where we can find it on the web space?
Well, I'm doing a lot of work this summer. I just finished up in Atlanta. They had the sequel to Shazam filming, and I'm going back for some of that later on in the summer. Fabulous Gemstones is filming over in Charleston. I've got some of that planned for the summer. We've got various fan films. The Romulan War, we're going to be going back into production soon. And there's a myriad of fan films that are powering up right now. Randy Landers has got some great stuff that he puts out there for free. The Starship Webster just had a meet and greet this past Friday online. There's just a lot of really, really good groups. Ray Tessie and his group down at Neutral Zone are also doing some wonderful stuff. And that's another thing. Ray is going to be providing a virtual walkthrough of his sets for Trek Lanta this year. So for people who haven't had a chance to get down to see Ray's sets in Georgia, there's only two places to go to really see these. And one of them is Kingsland, Georgia, and the other one's Ticonderoga, New York. I will be in attendance in July at the William Shatner 90th birthday celebration in Ticonderoga. So I'll be up there for that. And then they're also in Ty, they're doing July 4th weekend or July 2nd. James Colley is doing his live Elvis show in the parking lot for free, and he's also bringing in Joby, and I forget Joby's last name, and I apologize, but he's the nation's number one Michael Jackson impersonator. So he's got a great show planned in the parking lot outside of the set tour in Ticonderoga for July, and I will be there for that. And I'm just kind of traveling around doing a lot of Star Trek and non-Trek and sci-fi and non-sci-fi projects right now, and I'm just trying to stay busy in summer.
All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time and talking to us, and we'll definitely see you around, if not in Charlotte, in Atlanta.
Definitely, Chris, and I appreciate you taking time to bring me in here and have me on the show.
Nerd Bliss has arrived at Planet Kamino. Be advised that selling genetic material without the expressed permission from the office of the Kaminoan Prime Minister is prohibited by law. Honestly, why would they clone your dumbass anyway? Disengaging hyperdrive. Begin disembarkation protocol.
My friends, another Nerd Bliss hyperdrive journey has ended. If you'd like to give us feedback on this or any other episode, you may call us on the call-in line, 864-715-9446. Leave us a voice message there, or you may text that number as well if that is your preference. Depending on the content of your message, we may play or read your message on the show. Please be sure to follow us on our social media. We are out there on all the big ones under the handle at NerdBlissPod. You can send us an email to nerdblisspod@gmail.com. Also, please be sure to visit our website, nerdblisspodcast.com. All music used in this recording was used with the appropriate licensing and permission. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jen Skilstofta and licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. Thank you once again for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.